Yes.
Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio.
Yes.
Radio Free Wales.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Radio Yes Cymru, the podcast which is also on the Yes Cymru YouTube and other social media. And with me today is Phil Griffiths, who's the new chair of Yes Cymru, and Rob Hughes, both of whom are very active in the Yes Cymru branch down in Merthyr Tydfil. My name's Sean Jobbins. Welcome to Radio Yes Cymru.
Yes.
Yes. Yes Cymru Radio.
Yes. So, Phil and Rob, welcome to the programme. I think we've had Phil in the past, but I don't think we've had you, Rob, so you're a newbie to the Radio Yes Cymru podcast. Welcome to the gang. There's a big event happening down in Merthyr, 19th and 20th of April. I got the name in Welsh, Nabod Cymru, so Knowing Wales, I presume, is a title in English. And it's basically events in Merthyr. But the idea, boys, is that it then goes out to other towns and places in Wales where maybe a similar event can be held. So maybe, Phil, if you tell us briefly what the event is.
Yeah, of course. Diolch, Sean. I've got to give a mention, if I may. It's not my idea. It's not Rob's idea. It was an idea that was brought to our attention by our good friend Geraint Roberts, Astrogynlais. And the idea then essentially is that each part of Wales, towns and so on in Wales, in turn, sort of throw their doors open to visitors from other parts of Wales then, so that they can learn more about that area, you know, what is unique and particular and specific to that area. So it's a way of building up a network then of friends, and getting to know our nation a little bit better, because I think essentially we are a nation of communities. Lots of those communities, of course, have got things in common, but they've got other things then that, you know, strike them as, you know, being more different. And I think by getting to know each other better, it's an excellent excuse, you know, for a bit of a tour around Wales.
That's it. So, Rob, the idea is that obviously people in Merthyr and the Merthyr area come to this weekend, 19th, 20th of April, based in Theatre Soara, Soas Centre down in, well, in the middle of Merthyr town. A lot of people will remember it from the Independence March in Merthyr in 2019. But people also from other parts of Wales come over and pop over and see what's going on. So I understand there's a theatre show on the Friday 19th night. Can you tell us a bit more about that and the other events, Rob?
Yes, A Price of Change, which is contemporary ancient theatre production, which I think debuted in Blengarw just before Christmas. So I think this is the second or third time it will have been shown in Wales. It's on a tour of Swansea, Merthyr, and Newport and Cardiff over the next few weeks. And we've managed to tie our Nabod Cymru weekend into the weekend when the performance of Price of Change is on the Friday night in Theatre Zoa, which I think is something that's going to appeal to a lot of people who are independence minded, and hopefully we get a mix of audience in terms of local people who maybe are supportive of independence, those who are curious about independence, and then people from across Wales as well. I think the networking aspect of getting people from outside of our area into Merthyr for the weekend is really important. I've spent a little bit of time over the last couple of months trying to go to events, Yes Cymru events in different parts of Wales, and it's a good way to meet people, to have conversations. So that's the plan for the weekend. And tickets are
available. You're telling me, Rob, that social life isn't all online?
No, we get it. We
talk amazing. So what you're telling me, people go out and meet people and speak to them in person. Absolutely incredible, but they'll never catch on.
If you think I'm really uncomfortable, it's because I don't do this type of thing very often. Normally I'd rather be somewhere with a coffee or some other beverage. But yeah, that's the plan, is to get people out and together and networking in real life in real time.
And just so the show is about Dr. Richard Price, so people may not know, he's from Llangaenor by Bridgend in the Vale Glamorgan there. He's a big advocate supporter of the American independence wars and of a lot of things in the French Revolution, and was actually quoted and with Franklin, Benjamin Franklin, or the American revolutionaries at the time. So he's quite a significant person at the time, sort of forgotten ways. I know Dr. Hugh Williams down there in Cardiff University has done a lot of work with him, but he's an institute. He's a person I don't know much about, but he's significant, certainly in the American War of Independence, partly with discussions to do with French republicanism then and how the British state reacts to that. But he also somehow managed to keep his head on and was somehow also kept on side of the establishment here in the UK some way or another. But he's an interesting man to show, and it's part of a tradition of Welsh radical thinking, I believe, which I'm sure would appeal to a lot of people. So that's on the Friday night, so it's a show. So what's kicking off then on Saturday then, Rob?
So on the Saturday, we've got a sort of breakfast opportunity for people in Cafe Zoa, followed by a history tour around town. We thought, as it's a Yes Cymru get together, we'll do a little bit of sort of Yes Cymru activism in the town centre. We're going to have a little musical event in a local pub called the Ale Mary, which is run by a Yes Cymru member and is a supportive of Yes Cymru. A quiz in the evening, and then a sort of what happens next type of event at the end of the day, where I think we're going to have a little wander around a couple of pubs with some musical instruments for those who can play, and see if we can remember who our friends are in the morning, that type of thing.
So this sounds exactly like the type of thing Geraint Roberts would organise as well. So I got Geraint written all over him. The name of the pub again, Rob, so give a big shout out to the name of the pub.
Yeah, the pub is run by a member of Yes Rymney, and it's in Merthyr in on Pontmorlais West. It's Ale Mary is
the Ale name. Mary, fine.
So Ale Mary is the name of the pub.
So Phil, I mean, Yes Cymru's had these kind of events, or different events over the years. I remember we had a very successful indie fest down in Cardiff, I think about 2017, in Wimbledon Street, which is a great event, loads of stuff going on. This is a bit smaller than that. And we've had various variations of Annie Bunroyal. I remember some people saying that. I think Swansea organised this. But I love this kind of thing because it's quite informal. You can pop around there. You don't have to. You'd have to be a member, even just come out and see what's happening. Maybe check in 2 hours of your time, then you're going back home and sort out the kids or football or whatever. So it's a nice informal thing. So the idea, Phil, I presume, is trying to get people of all shades over to the event. I mean, are there tickets for it, or do you just turn up? Is there a cost to it?
We're on a turn up basis, Phil, aren't we, really?
Yeah.
Me and Phil have had this conversation sort of a couple of times in terms of, do we want to ticket things? And I think what we've done is we made sure that we can run two different events during the day at the same time. So numbers, I think, shouldn't really be a problem. I just realised you were asked that question, Phil, and I answered it. Sorry about that.
That's all right. You answered it much better than I would have done anyway, Rob. But yeah, that was essentially it. And the guided tour, then the history tour with Christopher Parry. He's done these before. And he said, you know, if the numbers are higher than sort of 20, 25, then obviously you get a situation where the people at the back can't hear what's going on. So he said he's more than happy to do it in two stages rather than, you know, have a situation where you've got people who, you know, don't get the full effect of his tour. So he very kindly offered, he said, well, you know, what sort of theme, what sort of period would you like me to cover? And, well, there is only one, isn't there? You know, even though there is more than one string to Merthyr's bow, I think when we put the feelers out there, it was very much the event leading up to and including the Merthyr Rising. So that'll be he'll be taking, you know, the visitors around various sites around town then, you know, to do with that.
So the 1831 Rising Rebellion, where Dick Pendennie, of course, the famous one, was executed down in Cardiff Market. Well, where Cardiff Market is now, where the jail was then. Only a very small plaque outside Cardiff Market, you know. I think there'd be a bit more civic pride and, you know, even just cynical tourism bait, you know, to do something a bit more of it, and same in Merthyr as well. I presume, Rob, that's a good excuse for you to then to have a tipple of Penderyn whiskey. Is that part of the theme? But I mean, I think this is a great idea because, again, this is kind of thing which even people aren't too sure maybe of independence or Yes Cymru or something. Going to Institute Joe is quite nice. And it's a good way to meet people. And if it changes people's minds, I think it's a different question. But I think getting people out there, getting people talking to each other and doing stuff like that is of itself, I think, is a good idea. So I think it's something for Yes Cymru Merthyr to be commended for. I mean, you're talking about the quiz, Rob. What kind of questions are going to be in the quiz? Is it going to be pop songs from the 1980s or...?
I think it's going to be a sort of Yes Cymru based quiz with loads of different sort of rounds in. I went down to I think Llandysul a couple of weeks ago and saw an excellent example of a Yes Cymru quiz. So we're probably going to plagiarise a little bit of what they've done, and then improve it slightly and pass it off as our own work. That's probably
okay. So people can get good notes from Llandysul and come over and sweep the board and win the big prize at the end, of course. So there's not going to be, as someone used to write a few quizzes, I realised, you know, quizzes can be very male-orientated with loads of questions about FA Cup finals and rugby scores and stuff like that. So I presume you're keeping away from that sort of gender conformity and having something which appeals to different people and different backgrounds. Of course, in good quizzes, we want to make sure people can answer some of the questions at least. It's not there to humiliate people when it can only ask about 200 to 200. So
What type of rounds are you suggesting we include to be inclusive, Sean?
Well, the recent history of Yes Cymru is obviously the one great figures of independence debate. But maybe a bit less on the rugby scores of 1970s. I don't know, but then maybe, I'm being gender critical. Well, maybe people of all background understand those kind of things as well. So it's something I realised I got told off in the 90s for having too many questions, which were obviously for the men in the groom could answer easier than maybe other people. So, I mean, that's again, something nice and tactile and easy for people to take part in. And they can just turn up to that, I presume, and do nothing else, and you'd be very happy.
Engagement and enjoyment are the key themes, really, to get people in and to get people to have a good time. Because I think what we found is that when people are enjoying themselves, they're more likely to come back and do more things with Yes Cymru as well.
To go maybe to the Yes Cymru in general and maybe the broader picture. Phil, congratulations on being elected the new chair.
Diolch.
That's a serious job of work, and I'm very glad. And thanks to Elfed for the work he's done before then. Anything you're looking forward to in particular, or something you think maybe we need to hone into? Or maybe looking at the probability of, well, it has to be election, I think, this year, doesn't it? UK general election and the probability of Keir Starmer Labour government. How do you think that's going to affect Yes Cymru and the independence discussion in general?
Well, I think we'd sort of, with the possibility of a Keir Starmer-led Labour government, it takes us into a new era then, doesn't it? Because we've got a situation where the Senedd in Caerdydd can no longer sort of point the finger at London and say, there, Alex, you know, there's the root of all our problems here. And maybe that clear red water will be put to the test, once again. But I think it's going to be good for the independence movement because, the government in the Senedd in Caerdydd will no longer be able to point the finger at Westminster and say, well, that's why, you know, things are this bad. So that's interesting.
To have a discussion about this, because the argument I've heard from other people is that having a Labour, something around half people who vote Labour are supportive of independence. You know, I think that can sort of come up and down, or maybe it's soft or something, but that's some kind of ballpark figure. I mean, one could guess, and it wouldn't be a mad thing to say that a section of those people would be actually just fairly happy if it's Labour in Westminster. And, you know, and I can think, okay, life's not perfect, it's not fab, but it's better than before. You know, I'd go crack on with the gardening or taking the kids to football or whatever. I'm going to lose sleep over it. Is that something you think, Rob? Because, I mean, some people are thinking, well, actually, maybe having a Labour government, whatever kind of colour or what kind of stripe Starmer is, it can in some way undermine the independence debate, because people say, look, you know, you've had a change of government to Westminster. These things happen. Sometimes we like have government in Westminster we don't like, maybe like the Tories. Other times we have ones which we are more amenable to, maybe don't like everything they do, but we can live with it. But how do you think about that?
I think it should be a dangerous time in terms of, you know, seeing a growth in support for independence if it wasn't Starmer. In Merthyr, obviously, the independence movement is relatively close to quite a few members of the Labour Party. And most of those are probably on the verge of being ex-members of the Labour Party at the moment, specifically those that are active. And I don't think Starmer is in any way, shape or form a unifying figure. And I certainly don't think he's a figure that represents Welsh Labour at all. In the same way, really, I think that Tony Blair didn't reflect the values of the Labour Party in Wales. And that's probably when, politically, in terms of Plaid Cymru, they've had their best, their better results is when there's been a Labour government in St Steffan and one in Caerdydd as well. So I'm less worried than I probably should be about the effect on independence, just because Starmer seems to be rubbing quite a lot of his core support up the wrong way. And I think with every passing comment he makes, that there's the possibility that more and more people become more open-minded to independence. We've certainly seen some active people in the Labour Party in Wales at Yes Cymru events that we wouldn't have seen a couple, 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, because that's interesting. So Phil, I mean, carry on with this discussion, because it's something we need to sort of game plan, if you think, at least be open and discussion about it in the future. I think this is just a very strong, label family, stroke tribal, stroke loyal vote, and whoever's a leader is not particularly, in the end, they believe in the cause so much, in the end, it's just the figures come and go. But what kind of, because I mean, the argument then could be, like, okay, we've had Labour government in Westminster, we're not particularly happy with that, but it's better than Tories. We have a Labour government in Cardiff, and we're not particularly happy with that, but it's better than nothing. And people say, well, do you want an independent Wales government, which could be run by the Labour Party, which is, again, something which, even people and supporters would say, it's not fab. I don't know. I'm just trying to paraphrase here. So, I mean, that could almost take the sail if the independence message is a message of change. Then people saying, well, it's basically the same people in charge, and how is it a message of change? And in a way, that's the problem possibly for the independence movement with Vaughan Gethin, who I think would be essentially a managerial, managed decline first minister. I mean, it's hardly making the case for more powers. And there's also a strategy, I think, by the unionist side of the Labour Party to not do things and not do exciting things, because that just shows that Wales can do things differently. There's almost an inbuilt plus for the Labour unionists to have a first minister who has rather dodgy questions around the financing of his campaign, which brings a shine off Welsh politics in general, and then doesn't actually deliver anything which is anyway radical. That's almost a win-win for the unionists in the Labour Party then.
Yeah. Or you can see it the other way and read it as being an opportunity for those of us, in Yes Cymru and within the independence movement in Wales, to highlight the fact that, as I said previously, going into a period where you've got, the same type of government in Westminster as we have in Cardiff, and yet nothing has changed. Nothing will change. There may be some crumbs from the table, but there will be no fundamental sea change in Wales's fortunes. And hopefully then that will make more and more people wake up to the, to the possibility that, there is another way of doing things, and that is to have all the levers of power in our hands and not rely on being governed by another country.
I suppose, Rob, anyway, certainly the first phase of, Yes Cymru was founded partly as a reaction to Scottish independence, and the fear, the genuine fear that Scotland could have got independent, which would support, but that Wales was totally unready in any shape or form, even just mentally, for something similar to that. So hopefully I think we've got over that first hurdle. But we also, I think Scotland's now off the agenda. It seems to me that the whole question of independence has just gone there. It died. It was meant to be, let's say 5 months' time, was it? It was meant to be in October 2023, or it was meant to have been by now. I can't see anything happening for the next 10 years or so, I think. And of course, by then, the S&P's fortune could go up and down. So, I mean, we really are. In some respect, the next year is going to be quite interesting because it's a total change of scene, isn't it? So the fear was that of independence for Scotland would force people in Wales to decide what they want to do. That seems to be on the back burner at the moment. The second thing was the Tories in Westminster were some kind of showing the limits of devolution and also how Wales could do things better. That's going to change probably with the Labour government to Westminster. So the movement, we all need to maybe think again about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we are going to present that change and why you have the change for the people of Wales. And this party where I think stuff like you're organising with this NABOD Cymru, you know, in Wales begins important, building that base. But I think it's kind of discussion we need to be thinking openly about.
I think it is, but I think it's one that we've got to be really, really, really optimistic as well. And I think if you go back to after... around 2014, the idea that Wales might become an independent country before Scotland would have been like ludicrous to a certain extent. I mean, I don't think it's a ludicrous question anymore in terms of the dynamism. One of the things I think we've got to get over, Sean, is that we need to be comfortable criticising the Senedd as well in terms of the decisions that it's making. And I think, and I've been guilty of this as well. I worry sometimes about criticising the Senedd, because by doing that, I'm criticising the devolution stroke independence pathway. Having said that, if we don't have sort of mature discussions about the success and lack of success of certain policies and certain people within the Senedd, I think we play into the hands of unionism on a whole. And one thing that I have seen developing, I think, over the past couple of years is a hardening of sort of a unionist position in Wales. And I think when we used to talk about Scotland, there was always, politically, religiously, Scotland's a different place. And there's always been factions within Scotland that are vehemently unionist or strongly in favour of Scottish independence. We haven't had that to the same extent in Wales, I think, in terms of a hardcore unionism based on any particular element of history. But I think there is one that's growing. So I think we're in quite a strong position. I think we're in a stronger position if we go back 4 or 5 years than anyone ever thought we would be. And I just think we need to be ready to have sort of difficult conversations sometimes about, about who governs us and be able to criticise our former government in order to be able to make it better. And I think we've been a little reticent in doing that in the past.
Yeah, 100% right, Rob. And, Phil, because I think... And it seems to me that even fairly unionist Labour politicians come up with some unpopular or maybe ill-thought-out policies. The 20-mile-an-hour, which I'm in general sort of supportive of, but when you're going through these tiny villages in Carmarthenshire and Llangurig and you're doing 20, you think, oh, heaven's sake, this is just a bit too much. And what seems to me on social media is the Yes Cymru people are all supporting the Labour Party, just because for the reason you say, Rob, it's used as a stick to beat devolution, where the people actually proposing and the people actually vote for this party don't seem to be backing them up at all. And it seems to be, it's left the heavy work, that the graft has been left to nationalists to basically cover up the mess left by weak devolutionists who are basically trying to do something. Because their own party didn't vote for £5 billion of HS2 number money, and they're faffing about with 20-mile-an-hour rules because they haven't got anything else to do or more money to spend on. And they, of course, depend on us lot to bail them out because their own party members can't be bothered because half of them don't really believe it in any case. Yeah. So, Fred, that's an important point by Rob. I mean, we need to be... Why it's not getting to party politics, which is a mistake, and also getting to the minutiae policy, which is not the SKM's role. What kind of things can we maybe say, look, we disagree with this? I think the campaign for the Crown Estate is a good one. I think that's something which is sort of we shouldn't be part. Should be something the Tories, everyone supports. I think that's something, yes, can we campaign on. It's something tangible people understand, and it's a lot of money as well. Is that the kind of thing you think Yes Cymru should be doing more of? I'm quite reticent as well getting into policy, because it can be a quagmire. You end up, and people want you to campaign to save the local hospital and stuff like this. I mean, so I don't know. What do you think, Phil, as a new chair?
Certainly the Crown Estate issue is something that we have been campaigning on, for a number of months now. We've generated literature, we've had leafleting campaigns, we've tried to highlight the issue of, the energy issue, essentially, around the Crown Estate, and the fact that it would be such a quick fix, you know, as Scotland has had it, you know, why couldn't we have a similar settlement here in Wales, where, you know, it's something that, you know, people see the wind turbines all around them, you know, dotted along the hills and the shoreline and so on. But it's just making that connection in their mind, because, you know, we say the Crown Estate, and it doesn't mean that much to a lot of people. So I think there's a little bit of work that needs to be done there to prepare people as well, for the realization then that, you know, yet again, we being asset stripped here in Wales, and all this money is, rapidly going east, and the communities where these turbines are located are getting no benefit whatsoever.
Yeah, and all the eyesore. I mean, I was watching a video the other day about the Faroe Islands, who are building underground, undersea tunnels to link their islands, which has a population of 50,000. And you're thinking, you know, the Welsh government in 25 years of devolution still haven't really upgraded the A470.
No.
Except for fair play to Ieuan Wyn Jones, that's stretched between Llanelwedd, just north of Llanelwedd. That's Ieuan Wyn's job, only because he was minister, fair play. And that's about, and then, you know, the railway is absolutely diabolic. I know there's a bit of change happening there, but there's no big build being. And you have to ask where that money from Objective One went. It's basically the community first, just to build up, shore up the Labour Party mechanism.
I think the Crown Estate is symptomatic of the problem that Westminster have got with Wales, isn't it? It's like if you're sitting in Downing Street, it's a no-brainer. This is. You're seeing the rise of, you know, the rise of Welsh nationalism. We're seeing people in 34, 36, 38% of people in favour of independence. And this is such an easy fix. And I think this is one of the real issues, is that they haven't decided to fix that and give parity, because that's how little respect they've got for Wales. That's how little respect they've got for democracy in Wales as well. And I think although it's something clearly that's very, very important to sort out, this is a perfect thing for the independence movement, Crown Estates. We get to campaign on absolute injustice in front of our eyes. And how they let us do that is the root of the problem, really.
So anyway, I'm getting from this conversation, one, boys, you're fairly relaxed about a Labour Party government in Westminster. You don't think that's going to be a huge change. It just means we need to finesse our arguments. But that maybe, and I'm saying this tentatively, you know, that there's some campaigns like the Crown Estate, which are non-party political, which is something which is fairly easy to understand, which actually affects people's economy, which I think is the important thing to campaign on, as something maybe the movement can be looking at to build up and shore up the campaign, as well as organising events we just started this discussion off, which is Knowing Wales, where people maybe just get to know different parts of Wales and meet other people. Because, I mean, there's no referendum going to be for years, if ever. I think nothing much is going to happen in Scotland for a while. So, I mean, at the moment, we're in a case of just, as you say, Rob, building that base of support is around one third, up and down, around there, kicking around there. I think that's a solid base. I think there's a big chunk of maybe 15% who would come over en bloc. That's just my unscientific hunch. We need to be campaigning on those economic bread and butter issues, which is what actually affects people's lives day in, day out.
Yeah, I think also that we should be looking at ways that we can, you know, I'm not expecting a referendum in the next year, two or five, like, but we should be looking at ways that we have the mechanism to, you know, to do that, and we should be preparing for it, because it's you know, and I know we've spoken about Scotland, but if we're a confident, independent, you know, nation that wishes to be independent, we've not got to look at other people all the time. We can do this, you know, we need to do this ourselves to a certain extent. So I think we've got to have some sort of strategy in terms of Yes Cymru, of how we move that, you know, of how we move that along, and how we make a referendum happen. And I'm, like I said, I'm not expecting within the next couple of years, but it should be the long term aim of what we do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Phil Griffiths, Rob Hughes, thanks for making time to speak to Radio Yes Cymru with me, Sean Robbins, this evening. It's been good to talk to you. So the NABOD Cymru Knowing Wales events at Merthyr, 19th and 20th of April at the Canolfan Soar, the Soar Centre, in the middle of town. It's a great place, cafe, theatre there, the bookshop. It's convenient.
Free parking if you're early enough as well.
All right, free parking. So we have the show about Dr. Richard Price on the Friday 19th. That's obviously ticket led. You need to pay for those tickets, I guess.
Yeah.
With events, just turn up. So there's the tour. What time's the tour on town, Rob?
I think we are starting at 12 o'clock. I think Phil is from my yeah, in front of me at the moment, but I think that's that. It's 12 o'clock that starts.
Right. So the tour with Chris Parry at 12 o'clock from Canolfan Soar. And then there's a music session. There's you'll have some events on the street to promote Yes Cymru itself, and then quiz. It sounds great. And the idea, as you said, boys, is that it goes to other parts of Wales, or parts of Wales use this kind of model, if you like. Obviously, they have their own event on the Friday night, maybe tied into something that's happening already. And then on Saturday, maybe just a couple of events in town just to get things going. That sounds ideal and great. Again, thanks for your time. A lot of food for thought there as well about the next year. It is quite a pivotal year in the way the independence probably manifest itself for the next couple of years, I'd imagine. So that's quite interesting to keep in mind. Tan tro nesaf, boys. I'll speak to you again, and good luck with the event down in Merthyr.
Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Thank you. Diolch.
Diolch.
Yes Cymru Radio. Independent news and views for an independent nation. Yes.